Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Looking to step up your Mother's Day flowers? The Home Depot has an idea. Let Mom's green thumb do some digging with colorful flowers, pots, and premium soils to bring out the most in her patios, walkways, and gardens. Right now, get Vigoro Potting Soil, just $8.97 for strong, healthy, vibrant plants indoors and outside. Shop our wide selection online and pick up your order in-store and give Mom the gift of a beautiful garden. Get Vigoro Potting Soil, just $8.97 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Picasso knows your vacation home is your best home. It's the place that brings family and friends together. It's where you're the best version of yourself. Picasso makes it easy to co-own a luxury vacation home in amazing locations. Listings start at $200K for 1/8 ownership. Picasso does all the work for you. Luxury furnishings, maintenance, billing, scheduling, and more. And you can resell on Picasso's marketplace anytime, historically for a 10% gain. Visit Picasso to see thousands of listings. That's PACASO.com.
Welcome to Stuff from the Science Lab from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey guys, and welcome to Stuff from the Science Lab. This is Allison Mattermilk, the science editor at HowStuffWorks.com.
And this is Robert Lamb, science writer at HowStuffWorks.com. And, you know, we communicate a lot at work via email.
We do, yeah.
Even though we're just, a few yards away from each other.
We do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes I have the habit of popping over your cube wall and annoying you, but only from the right side.
Well, you don't so much as annoy me, it's just shock me because I always have my headphones in. And so.
Yes, you do. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Jamming out in your cube, writing. I have a hard time figuring out how you jam out and write at the same time.
I don't know how I would write if I didn't jam out. That's really the only way to do it.
Listening to music with words, doesn't that distract you?
No. I can't listen. Used to when I had a more brainless job and I was doing like pagination for a newspaper, I could listen to like whole podcasts and, you know, where there are discussions and stuff and I could do my job. But like here, as long as it's not somebody giving me a lecture, you know?
Yeah.
Most of the lyrics to the things I listen to aren't really that deep anyway.
So sometimes we do communicate by email and, you throw in an emoticon sometimes in there.
Yeah. I'll throw in an emoticon just to, it's kind of like, real writing, in my opinion, shouldn't have a lot of exclamation points.
Agreed. You know? A screamer.
Yeah. But sometimes if you're doing a short email, you know, it's like an exclamation point can make all the difference in the enthusiasm level, you know?
Yes.
And likewise, if you're not too sure about how your, words are going to be received by the recipient, you throw on a little smiley face or, I don't really use sad faces in work emails, but but sometimes there's a little like annoyed one, you know, where you do like the two eyes and then kind of like a sideways kind of a mouth. But
I'm never really sure when to throw in an emoticon, to be honest. Have I ever sent one or used one in an email to you?
Yeah, like you were saying earlier, you rarely emote anyway. You know, basically a robot. But it's one like as a writer, I feel like I can generally say exactly what I want to say.
But email is a tricky method of communication.
Yeah. Sometimes you got to shoot them off fast. You don't have a lot of time. And it's the same with like text, you know?
Yes.
You know, you want to convey the message quickly and not start an argument. So you just be like, you just throw in a smiley. So Tell us a little about the history of the emoticon, though. This is actually pretty interesting.
It is. Yeah. We can pinpoint the exact moment when emoticons sprang into existence, and that was 11:44 a.m. on September 19th, 1982. And that was thanks to a gentleman, a professor, Scott E. Fallman, at Carnegie Mellon. And he was suggesting their use. He was talking about the limits of online humor and how, you know, to really get across comments that are meant to be taken lightly. Mm-hmm. And said, so he said, and I quote, "I propose the following character sequence for joke markers. You can't see, so I will tell you it's the smiley face, the colon dash parenthesis, and read it sideways. So let me read that to you again. I propose the following character sequence for joke markers." And he gave an emoticon, and then he said, "Read it sideways."
Yeah. So. Now, he included the nose. I rarely include the nose.
The nose.
Yeah. So I use a simplified version. But this was early in the emoticon creation process. And it's really, really skyrocketed since then, as I think everybody knows. There's just there's a huge array of emoticons that you can whip out in your, you know, daily email correspondences, aside from just smiley, frowny, angry.
Frowny. I like how they all get the E.
Yeah, there's a vampire one. Where
blood suck your E?
I don't know when you would use that.
And there are different ones in Japan, too, right?
Yeah, I mean, especially when you have different... actually, I saw a chart where it's like in Japanese emoticons have a tendency to... they tend to want to make theirs more horizontal instead of vertical.
Sure.
And then also when you get into other languages, you have more characters and you can really create crazy emoticons that like look like ogre faces and...
And cats.
And, well, cats. And the cat one you can actually do with just... It's like an equal sign and then a... What's the...
A carrot.
Yeah, like a carrot and then a dot and then a carrot and then an equal sign. And voila, you have like a happy
Have you
cat.
Used that one before?
No.
Are you pretty psyched to use it?
Yeah, I don't know when I'm going to, you know... Unless I just start, like, if I have to text, my wife will be like, "Did you feed the blank?" And then I throw in the emoticon for the cat.
But that's longer than typing out, you know, texting cat.
Yeah, but we do that all the time. It's like around here, you know, when people write How Stuff Works, at least in the office, they'll put HSW because it's shorter on paper. But then you hear people saying, "Yeah, we really need to think about HSW." And then you're like, "That's not shorter. You didn't save any syllables in saying HSW instead of How Stuff Works."
That's true. People should just be rational. So yeah, like we were saying, emoticons are awfully handy when you don't have the ability to convey your tone or your feeling. And yeah, they help out when our voices can't do the same.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the even more important things and what we're really going to talk about in this podcast, is that they provide you a face during faceless correspondences.
Sure.
You know, you can't see my facial expressions when I'm emailing you or texting you.
Unfortunately, we don't have video phones yet. Well, I guess we have had some like poorly conceived ones, but they're not widespread by any means.
They're out there.
Yeah, they're out there, but I mean, it's not like, you know, do androids dream of electric sheep, you know, and they're all calling on the video phones, vid phone.
Yeah, I mean, it's not quite Dick Tracy yet, but indeed, yeah, it's not a standard part of our...
I guess people do Skype quite a bit, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, so emoticons are pretty handy, but they really don't compare when it comes to the human face and what it can convey. I mean, think about it now. I'm trying to look at you and I can't really see your mouth, Robert. Are you smiling or frowning or scowling? What would you describe your facial expression right now? Quizzical. Now there's a smile because you think I'm being stupid.
But yeah, like the very basics, the smiles, the frowns, the scowls. You can look at somebody and you instantly have a good idea of what their whole attitude is.
Right. So, for example, a person who's trying to gain your trust may smile. Mm-hmm. Someone trying to scare you will scowl. And we use these faces, you know, not just to win trust, but, you know, also influence and, hey, manipulate others.
Yeah. I mean, a nice smile will get you pretty far, as they say. I don't know if they say it, but everybody knows it. You know, it's like, you know, you get pulled over by the police. What are you going to do? You're probably going to put on a smile.
Smile nervously.
Or maybe you're going to frown. You're really sad. I don't know. You know,
cry.
Yeah.
You could bust out the tears.
Yeah. Emotional manipulation goes a long way. And you can probably do a lot more. I mean, there's no probably about it. You can do a lot more in person than you can do with an emoticon.
Right. So according to researcher Paul Ekman, he found that humans share at least 7 primary facial expressions with identical meanings. So first up, we have happiness.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, while you're listening to this, think about happiness. What are you doing? Are you raising, you know, the corners of your lips? Are you wrinkling your cheeks a little bit, narrowing your eyelids? Are you producing those lovely crow's feet? Those wrinkles in the corners of your eyes. And then, of course, we move on to sadness.
Mm-hmm.
What does that feature? I mean, I think we all know what sadness features.
You narrowed eyes, eyebrows brought together, downturned mouth, pulling up or bunching of the chin. Yeah, all that good stuff. Then there's fear.
The wide-eyed look.
Yeah, wide eyes. And apparently a fear is very similar to surprise.
So, yes, I believe that. And it also has a good flaring of the nostrils involved in fear, which I never noticed before so much.
I notice in cartoons, not really in people.
Anger.
Mm-hmm.
It's generally a lot of eyebrow motion.
Yeah. Then there's disgust. Nose scrunching. Anytime you see somebody smelling something bad, raising of the upper lip, downcast eyebrows, narrowed eyes. Surprise, like we mentioned. And then contempt.
Contempt, of course. And that's notable for raising one side of the mouth into a sneer or a smirk.
Yeah. And a lot of these, I mean, it's things that we pick up from other people, like at a very early stage. We don't consciously, well, most of us, unless you're like a sociopath or something. You know, you're not consciously using all of these facial expressions. They just come out. It's an expression of what you're feeling inside.
Right. Right. So, and then sometimes we have these things called micro expressions. And I think Chuck and Josh did a good podcast on micro expressions. And there's also an excellent article on the site if you guys want to check it out. And these are super interesting. These are just very fleeting expressions that, you know, occur across your face, that you really can't control.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of times they're like real tells of what you're feeling. You know, like maybe you're faking that smile or that frown for the police officer, but if the police officer was able to read your micro expressions, then he would be able to tell, like, oh, well, you're lying about something, or well, you're really nervous about something that's in the trunk, you know? Well, maybe not. There's not a specific micro expression for, oh, my goodness, there's a body in the trunk. But you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know if you heard it, but back when the whole baseball scandal was erupting with Rodriguez and McGuire and some of those folks, there's a guy who analyzed Alex Rodriguez an interview in which mm-hmm. he was asked about whether he took some of these substances. And the psychologist or researcher involved in it analyzed Rodriguez's face for micro expressions. And, you know, he would stop it. Oh, you know, point to that. Look what he's doing there. And
yeah, there's something with the brow, as I remember correctly. If I remember correctly, is supposed to be like a real telling micro expression of lying.
Yeah, so there are 3,000 of these different expressions, according to Paul Ekman.
Yeah, and he's really like the godfather of
he's Mr. Micro Expression.
Yeah, Mr. Micro Expression. And these things can be pretty brief too. Like they may flash across your face for 1/25 of a second. All right, I mean they occur so fast that they're not even perceived by the conscious mind, by either the person expressing them or the person observing them.
Right, right.
And as few as 10% of the people are even aware of seeing microexpressions when tested. So it's really like below the surface of conscious perception, you know.
Subliminal.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we have all these handy expressions and microexpressions, as the case may be, to convey how we're feeling about the world.
Mm-hmm.
But what about instances when we can't emote?
Yeah, I mean, that's, again, it comes back to the emoticons that we throw out during emails. Most of the time, though, our emails are not really life or death, you know?
That's true.
Sometimes they are. But for the most part, you know, it's
critical deadline.
Yeah, it's critical deadline, or it's like, you forgot to pick something up at the grocery, that kind of thing.
Yes.
But there is a situation where it is very often life and death, or there's a huge potential for the situation to be life and death, and that is when you get behind the wheel of an automobile.
Right. So driving is a communal activity. I mean, we tend to think of driving as an individual experience because a lot of us are just hopping in the cars and, you know, driving off to work.
Yeah. You're sealed in there with your music or what have you. And yeah.
Or you're listening to a stuff from the Science Lab podcast and really just you're into it.
Yeah.
But, you know, you have other drivers on the road, of course, and you can't really easily communicate with the other folks, you know, next to you. You can't say, hey, I just cut you off and I'm really sorry about that. Or you can't say, hey, you just cut me off and what the heck was that?
Yeah, there's a guy by the name of Dr. Leon James, who we were talking about Mr. Face earlier. This guy is also sometimes called Dr. Traffic. And Dr. Traffic. Jonathan Strickland wrote an article about road rage, and
which is kind of funny when you consider that Strickland doesn't drive. So he wrote the article on road rage.
But I mean, I don't collide atoms or anything or particles, you know. So and I wrote about that.
That is a good point. That is a good point.
Yeah, we're great writers here, but we don't have to actually do the things we write about. But anyway, in the article, Dr. James points out several aspects of driving that contribute to rising frustration and stress levels that often boil over into road rage. And these include immobility, constriction, lack of control. We get very territorial. There's denial and loss of objectivity. That means we tend to overlook our own faults and place the blame on others. Unpredictability. Like, a lot of this is when I think in life in general, we create like a story around ourselves where we're the center and everything else is just, you know, gunk, you know?
Yeah, and we're egocentric beasts.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And you get in a car and it's the same deal. It's like, it's all about like, how did that
guy was out to cut me off.
Yeah, he cut me off. Why is this light not cooperating with me? Come on, bus. You know, it's like that's how we get. But then another, fact that James points out is ambiguity. There's no culturally agreed upon way to signal an apology to another driver. I mean, there's the whole like, thanks, you know, for letting me out while I was trying to take a right or a left. But beyond that, it's easy to misinterpret someone's actions as a sign of aggression or insult.
Okay, let's pause for a second because I think that there are a couple of ways out there that people do communicate in cars.
Okay, let's hear them.
Okay. So first we have the wave, like you were just talking about. And the wave is, hey, thanks, you just let me in, and mm-hmm. I appreciate that. I look for the wave after I let somebody in.
Because
I expect the wave.
Because you're going to be mad if they don't, right? You're like, do you get irritated? You're like, I just let you out, buddy. I'm going to be late, and you didn't even wave to me?
You got to give me the wave, right? No, I would never do that. And then, you know, of course, there's a horn. But as you were pointing out earlier when we were talking about this podcast, you know, a lot of places have cracked down on using your horn. You can't blare it. People don't really like all that noise pollution. Mm-hmm. But yeah, sure, you can use the horn. There's the light tap. If, say, you're sitting at a light and the person in front of you hasn't gone, you kind of give the light tap. But
I have to admit, I think I've been in situations where the person has honked back at me after I honk for them.
Well, it depends on the honk.
I've done that. Like, I've honked back at somebody. Like,
why?
I don't know, because when we're behind the wheel, we're different creatures, you know, and we're like more prone to anger. And there was like one, I forget what I was doing. Maybe I was tweeting or something. I don't know, but,
that's illegal, Robert.
Well, now it is, but this was a different time.
Back in the days when you could
months
tweet
ago,
and drive.
Yeah. Well, no, I was at a stop light, you know, I mean, I was at a light and suddenly it turned green and I didn't know that, you know, that it had turned. The mm-hmm. dude behind me gave me a little honk and this like anger rose in me. I'm like, what are you honking at me for? And then I honked back and then I was like, wait, that guy was totally correct to honk at me.
I would like to also put a signal out there, the hold up the hands to acknowledge fault or blame. Sometimes mm-hmm. I will do this if I've, you know, if I've done something that, oh shoot, I should not have done that. So, you know, I'll hold up my hands.
Yeah. Well, I used to be more, expressive with my irritation to other drivers. But I finally have just settled on just shaking my head from side to side and like disappointment. And it works two ways. A, it's very subtle and it allows me to let some of the anger out in a very calm manner. And also other drivers aren't going to see it and attack me.
Yes.
Because once I had that happen, I was on the way to like a job interview and it was like raining and we were like stuck in traffic, right? Mm-hmm. And there's like some like annoying trucker behind me.
Why would you mess with a trucker?
I wasn't messing with the trucker. It was just kind of like he was like really riding my tail. Like,
or she?
No, it was a he.
Oh, okay.
I know, because he got so irritated. And I think I like threw my hands up or something, you know. But I mean, I'm in the car in front of him, right? And then he like loses it, gets out of his vehicle and like walks up beside my car and gesturing wildly like he wants me to get out and like fight him in traffic or something. But the weird thing was, it's like I look up at him, right? And I make eye contact with him. And I imagine the look on my face was kind of like, what's going on? There's like, you know, I'm just kind of completely shocked. So he makes eye contact with me and it's like he instantly like calms down and goes back to his car. And this is not like a Jedi mind trick thing with me either. It's like he made eye contact with me. He saw my face, you know, and then everything was human again.
Okay. That's really interesting you say that, because I'm sorry, guys. We are talking a little bit about road rage, but you are welcome to share your road rage stories with us. And now I want to share one of my own.
Okay.
Similar thing happened. I was driving home. I used to have a long commute from a different job. And there's this particular intersection and a gentleman just kind of, you know, all of a sudden crossed in front of me. It was really tight. And, I gave him a long, loud horn. I should not have done that. I do not suggest that. I'm not proud of myself for giving the long, loud horn, but I did. And he stopped the car, mm-hmm. and he got out of his Mercedes convertible.
Oh.
And he came toward me in my little Econo box. And I rolled up the window and locked the doors and mm-hmm. just stared straight ahead. There was no eye contact. I would not look at him because I was afraid of provoking him with eye contact.
Right.
So that's interesting that you said it. I wouldn't look at him, but yours kind of abated based on that.
Well, I have seen some reports too, some studies that talk about like eye contact not doing any good after a certain point if everybody's still angry, because it's because then, you know, it's like you have angry drivers, and then if they're like it's like that you compound what they're feeling, and you confirm any kind of negative feelings if you like finally make eye contact with the other person and they're like scowling at you, because then it's just like, you know, you're thinking, oh, these drivers are monsters, you know, what's with Atlanta's drivers? Then you make eye contact with them and you're like, look, I was totally right, look how angry they are.
Right. Okay, so all of these road rage stories, what are you going to do? What's a driver to do? How are you going to emote? Clearly, the throw up the hands has multiple meanings. People aren't always so psyched about the light tap on the horn.
Mm-hmm. And not everybody can drive a convertible.
Right, so there have been some efforts to bridge this communication gap among drivers. Let's talk about one called the vehicle signaling system.
Yeah, this was like a patent, I believe.
Yeah, and it was by some guys named Jerry E. Beasley and E. Scott Geller. And this particular system allowed drivers to display a message like, sorry, to other drivers. According to the patent, quote, the messages associated with the use of the communication system are selected for enhancement of safety and to avert the negative responses associated with road rage.
Cool.
Sounds like a good thing. Don't think it ever quite took off.
Between like 2001 and 2005, Japanese engineers working with Toyota took a shot at it.
Okay.
Along similar lines. They had this project called the Pod. And it really sounds overly ambitious, which is probably one of the reasons you don't see this technology out on the roads today. But they basically said, let's make a car where you have sensors that will read, the emotions of the driver and convey them through the car. Like the car would emote, which instantly brings to mind like images of like Thomas the Tank Engine or something.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not completely unlike that. It would feature like headlights that would fade from bright to dull to indicate anger or contentment. Eyebrows formed by lighted slits along the car's bonnet that would be able to illuminate to form a frown. So you would have a vehicle that...
that's frowning on you. Are you picturing... Am I the only one picturing Herbie?
Did Herbie have a face?
I don't know. Herbie kind of has a face.
Yeah?
Herbie, you know, the little VW bug?
Yeah.
In the movies? I felt like he could emote.
Huh. Maybe you just had more of a connection with that film than I did.
But, I might have.
But yeah, it's basically the vehicle would emote for the driver. And at the time, I think they were saying that the technology was still like 10 or 15 years off or more, before we would actually be able to see this. And of course we haven't seen it.
So my complaint with that would be I like to selectively emote. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't like to emote every feeling or thought or sweaty palm that I'm feeling.
Right. Well, yeah. And it's like if you're angry and you're driving, like you don't want to, again, it seems unhealthy for everybody on the road to know that you're an angry driver. And it seems like if you were to roll out this technology, you know, say give it to everybody in Atlanta, I think you'd have like two types of drivers. You'd have like angry drivers and then the drivers that are jamming out listening to music.
Yeah.
You know? So. Because I saw another study that pointed out that like we're kind of like reared at this point to drive angry and have road rage. You know,
what do you mean?
Well, it's
because
like,
we have all this stuff to entertain us in the car. Or?
No, it's like all the reasons we were talking about before about being shut off, but also like a lot of us grow up with parents that are like, you know, your mom's driving the car and she's probably talking about the traffic, you know, and mm-hmm. complaining about the traffic and creating mm-hmm. that little story in which her and her driving experience are at the center of everything. Like a lot of people do the whole chatter while they're driving. I mean, have you ever been in a vehicle driving, nobody else in the vehicle with you, and you're talking, like you're commenting on the traffic?
A little bit.
Okay, well...
Do you talk to yourself in the car? Is that what you're trying to get across?
I didn't think about it much till I saw it mentioned in one of these studies.
Okay.
And they were like saying that that's one of the signs most drivers seem to put out there is that they chatter and they're like, oh, what are you doing, buddy? You know, you kind of talk to the other cars.
Oh, yes.
What are you doing, guy? You totally cut me off there. It's like, oh, I guess you're not going to make that light. Great. We all missed the light. You know, things like that.
Yes.
Which occasionally, like if you've ever like done like me, I think it was like a month ago, my phone, I pocket called my sister.
Oh, butt call.
Well, I guess if you put your phone in your back pocket, it's a butt call.
Yeah.
More like a hip call for me, I guess.
Okay.
But yeah, so I called her and I was just driving. So she got to listen to my traffic chatter for like the length
hilarious.
Of the message, you know. So.
So, and there is a new gadget called the Drive Motion. And why don't you take us through this one? Because you're a little bit more familiar with
yeah,
it.
Yeah. And this is, it took me a while to figure out the title, how to pronounce the name of the product, because it's Drive Emotion. But with one word and instead of doing the double E's, they share an E. So it's DriveMocion. And this, you're talking about, you want to selectively emote when
yes.
you're driving. And you don't want like a supercomputer picking up on all your micro expressions.
Heck no.
And like letting everybody know that you're pretending to be happy, but you're really frightened of the world. You know, that would suck. But, no, this is basically a device that like sticks on the back of your back windshield, you know? And it lights up and it has like five different things it can do. It can make a happy face. It can make a winky face, or I don't know what you'd call it, a winky face, a smiley face that's winking.
Is that maybe if you find the driver next to you kind of cute?
I guess, yeah.
Or that was kind of a cheeky move.
Yeah, some sort of traffic, flirting or something. I don't know. Then there's like the words back off, the words thanks, and the word sorry. So, you know, very limited in what you can convey, but you have to wonder. It's like maybe this is enough to sort of make some difference, you know, to bring some humanity back onto the roads.
Right. So as long as we have instances of road rage and people, you know, doing kind of terrible things to each other in traffic, maybe these emoticons in the car aren't such a bad thing.
Yeah. Maybe they should be standard, really, you know?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at Dr. Leon James, he was saying that 56% of the men surveyed said they experienced rage on a daily basis versus 44% of the women. So either sex, a lot of rage going
yeah.
on.
And rage has been, I mean, not necessarily rage, but like anger is frequently connected to traffic accidents and just general lack of safety on the roads. So.
Right. So we'd love to hear from you. And what we would love to hear on this is, do you guys have any sort of signs that you give to other drivers? And we don't want to hear, nope, make them all nice and G-rated. Thank you very much. You know, do you have...
Yeah, because all the obscene ones are pretty obvious. There's only so many variations that you can roll with on that. But how do you convey other emotions?
Yeah. And how do you feel about emoticons? Send us an email at sciencestuff@howstuffworks.com or connect with us on Facebook. We're Stuff from the Science Lab, or on Twitter. We're Lab Stuff.
Yeah. We'll at least I will use emoticons on Lab Stuff and our Facebook account. Allison, never.
That's all we got. Thanks for listening.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. Want more HowStuffWorks? Check out our blogs on the HowStuffWorks.com homepage.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Roger that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.